Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I am Ryan Eichten here at Target Center after Game 3, and oh man, we've had some fun live shows so far from Target Center. Only the one loss, but most of them, the Wolves are now 5-1 in the playoffs. So we've had five fun after shows. As I look down at the ESPN crew, we can see Michael Malone, Bob Myers, Kendrick Perkins, I think that's Stephen A. Just an insane game. Wolves win 143-101, a 42-point drubbing of the Oklahoma City Thunder. By far the worst game the Thunder have played all year. I tweeted at halftime that was, someone tweeted it, that was the worst half that they've played all year. You got it. I mean, just has to be. There's no way that they've There's just no way that a team that like that has played that good. The big thing coming out of this game will be how much of it sticks. We saw from games 1 and 2 that nothing from the games in Oklahoma City mattered tonight. So we'll see if that the Wolves can carry it over and win two straight at their home building like OKC did, or if this is just like a one game blip on the radar for the Wolves. I do think that at the very least the Wolves prove that they can beat this Thunder team. It's possible. It won't look like this every night. It probably won't look like this ever again. But the Wolves prove that they have a chance to win this series. Game 4 is going to be a big one. It's a gigantic swing. If you're tied 2-2, you got a theoretically a 50-50 shot. Obviously the Wolves are underdogs, but you got a 50-50 shot to win the series. And if you go down 3-0 with two games left in Oklahoma City, that's going to be a tall task. So a gigantic, huge Game 4 setting up. But just a fun game at Target Center. I always kind of try to take the mindset of enjoy the moments while they happen. We don't know how this series will go, but at the very least, you got to enjoy what tonight was. The first Western Conference Finals victory at Target Center in 21 years. 2-1. The first two games are disastrous, but if you told people that the Wolves would be down 2-1 after three games, you wouldn't like it, but you also wouldn't be all that surprised. The Wolves have outscored the Thunder in this series. Not sure if that means jack squat, but I think what was clearly premature was this was like a fluke run by the Wolves, that they weren't actually that good. I think they proved that clearly wrong. This is an outstanding Timberwolves team. We'll see if it's a championship team these last few games of the series, but what's clear to me is that while they didn't play well in games 1 and 2, this series isn't over. If the Thunder thought they were going to walk through to the finals, the Wolves have a lot to say about that. They'll just a completely different vibe from the first games to this one. One thing I thought was kind of, I don't know if this would have mattered, but Thunder score the first 4 points of the game. They get the ball back, and Jalen Williams misses a wide-open three. If the Wolves go down 7-0, maybe the tenor of this game changes. Obviously, it feels dumb to point out one basket. But then Randall hits a layup, and Dort steps on the sideline and made the three that would have gone in if he was if his foot was an inch ahead of where it was. The score could have been 7-0. It could have been 7-2. But instead, the Wolves immediately take the lead. So the Thunder score the first 4 points of the game, and the Wolves outscore them 34-10 the remainder of the first quarter. And it was just a beatdown from start to finish. There was a small blip in the second half. The Thunder scored went on a 12-2 run to open the second half to cut the Wolves' lead down to 22. Anytime you use the phrase "cut down to 22," you're in a good spot, obviously. But there was, I'll admit, I did Google biggest NBA comeback, biggest playoff comebacks in Timberwolves history or in NBA history. I believe it was 31 in the playoffs and 36 in the regular season. I got to paint the picture, as Leonard Miller comes back out and starts shooting after getting some run in this game three. Knocks down the first jumper. But yeah, I thought what was really important, not just obviously, I mean, the 42 points they scored more than the Thunder are obviously the most important, but Finch calls timeout after the lead is down to 22. Obviously, you're still gigantic favorites to win the game, but if there is any shot for the Thunder to come back in that game, it was going to be then. Finch calls timeout, and they immediately respond. Wolves score the first 7 points out of the timeout and go on a 20-4 run to more or less close the game out and take out any semblance of a comeback. I just think that's kind of important that there was no, even in like when they closed out the Warriors, there was that weird fourth quarter. But they were able to not even make it a problem. Actually, it was 23-4. The Wolves went up by 41 toward the end of the period, and the lead was up to 45 before the end of the game, which eventually got down to 42. It's about, obviously the Wolves winning wasn't, they were 3-point underdogs. That's obviously not all that shocking of a result, but the way they did it, I think you got to be really surprised as, some Wolves fans kind of yell at the remaining Thunder crowd. There are a fair number of Thunder crowd sitting in one of the corners here, I guess, waiting for players to come out. Good for them for sticking around. Yeah, the way the Wolves won has to be like the biggest story. Again, I don't know if it'll carry over. Maybe the Thunder come back and win. I would expect a close game nonetheless in game four. Yeah, huge opportunity in game four. I'm very pumped. At the very least, we get a fun Target Center crowd. We didn't get that at all last year in the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, the first two games were unbelievably close. The Wolves could or should have won both of those games. And then game five looked like tonight, where the Mavericks took them and ended their season before the game even started, really. Yeah, fun night. Really fun night at Target Center. Crowd was fantastic. Andrew Carlson turned to me after the transition dunk from Ant early in the game and said that's the loudest Target Center's been all year. And I tend to agree that it was. Target Center was ready. There was no like, woe is us, we're down 2-0. There was none of that. Target Center was ready. And they the Wolves got it done for him. Cut the Thunder series lead in half. Monday, Memorial Day. Big one. Thunder still gigantic favorites to win the series. I just checked. They're minus 1,000, or Wolves are plus 1,000. Thunder are minus 650, I think, which was basically the line after the first game. So it kind of makes sense. The Wolves and Thunder split the last two games, and you see the series market kind of go unchanged. But let's kind of dive into some individual performances here from this game. Anthony Edwards, just truly incredible. Possibly the greatest game of his career to this point. I'm hard pressed to think of. Nothing comes to mind. Obviously, he's had 40 something point playoff games. If the if the scoreboard required him to do that, I think he would have tonight. 12 of 30 points, 12 of 17 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, only 2 free throws, hit one of them, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, yes, 4 turnovers. But he gave the Wolves everything. He first time in the series, it looked like he had really started to dominate any part of the game, was able to get to the rim, hit open threes, was doing everything, was the cog of their offense, guarding solid, just one of those games. I think Andrew and I said after game two that there was a pretty big gap in what we've seen from Anthony Edwards versus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. SGA, obviously the MVP, unanimous first-team All-NBA selection. Yesterday, as Ant was given second-team All-NBA, came up a fair number of votes shy of the first team, Donovan Mitchell getting that last spot. Didn't have a huge problem with that personally. But SGA had dominated the first two games of the series and made it. Check out the chat here. He made it just, it was hard to imagine the Wolves being able to win this series if Shai was going to dominate the games like this. And what we saw tonight was an exact opposite, where Shai had probably his worst game of the season. I obviously don't follow the Thunder day in, day out, so I wouldn't have an idea of that, but they did a fantastic job on Shai. Obviously, he misses some shots that he probably makes most of the time, but only 14 points, 4 of 13. Obviously, everyone didn't play a full extension of minutes as the plug was pulled. The plug is pulled after the end of the third quarter. Leo in the chat, game ball goes to ESPN cameraman panning to Tim Connelly, picking his earwax and considering if he should eat it, which he did not. I gotta say, in the building, obviously didn't see that live, so yeah, awkward moment from Tim Connelly there. Thank you, Leo, for providing providing that wonderful, wonderful anecdote. I will say some interesting anecdotes for me. The Thunder owner was sitting behind us here in one of the suites, so it's kind of interesting that they were sitting right back there. Interesting that the Thunder ownership group kind of staring, felt like, I'm sure wasn't noticing me at all, but felt like they're staring daggers at us the entire game. And then one suite over was the Kansas City Royals, who got walked off by the Twins both yesterday and on Friday. So that'll be fun if the Twins are able to sweep them tomorrow. They'll have witnessed 4 Minnesota sports victories in 3 days. I tweeted out that with 7:50 on the clock, the Kansas City Royals left the building, and I said that they're now mentally preparing to get swept by the Twins tomorrow. It was kind of funny anecdote for me. I follow baseball pretty hard, and so I'm looking at the players over there, and I'm like, oh, that's a celebrity. How do I recognize that person? And I see another Royals player. How do I recognize that person? And I couldn't, without context, I couldn't put together that it was the Royals. And eventually I see Salvador Perez, and I'm like, oh, hey, that's Salvador Perez. And then it clicks in my head, oh, it's the whole Royals team. So I was looking at Carlos Estevez, one of the relief pitchers, and then Mark Canna, one of their outfielders. And I finally put it together that the Royals with the had the night off, got together tonight. So that's fun. And I don't know, people in the chat can, if anyone can think of a better game Ant has played. I know he scored more points in a playoff game, but I truly think that was the best playoff game he's played. Wolves defense did a just outstanding job the entire night. Really shut down everything, but the biggest one obviously is Shai, I said, with 14 points. Jalen Williams never got going, 13 points. Mitchell off the bench was tied for the leading scorer with 14 points. Obviously some garbage time there, but Thunder played their entire roster. That's fun. Let me count. Is that 15? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 guys played for the Thunder. I guess the Wolves play 13, everyone minus Joe Ingles. I'm sure Joe's fine with it, but it's just like, can we get Joe into a game? I don't know. But just a fun game. I let me go back to that for a second. I think it's important. I really do. I really think it's important to enjoy like victories like this, even if I mean, I I'm excited about the Wolves potentially getting back in the series, but even if they don't, stuff like this is fun. Well, we didn't get this last year. We didn't get the Western Conference Finals game at home that they won. So Wolves fans, enjoy this tonight. Have fun. Go have a few a few soda pops. And we'll ratchet up the nerves again on Monday night. But for now, really fun. Wolves are three games away from the NBA Finals. They gotta win what, four? How many games? The math is hard. They gotta win three of the next four still. But they had to win four out of the next five coming into the night. And they got that started with a win. Kind of going down the list. Julius Randle, 24 points, 9 of 15. Just, I mean, this is true of everyone on the roster, but just incredible shot making. It's just kind of what Andrew and I talked about after game two. I mean, you just have to expect the shot making to turn around. And it did we'll see if we're hoping not for a boomerang kind of effect in game four. But Julius Randle, let's see if I can filter how many of his points were in the paint. 1, 2, 3, 4. So just four of his 24 points were in the paint. I guess he has four free throws, so we can call it 8. It was a lot of jump shots. It was a lot of threes from Julius, but after a really poor game in game two for Julius, he went right back to being the all-star caliber player, all-NBA caliber player that the Wolves have needed from him in these playoffs. Rudy Gobert, really great defense. Obviously, the offense is the thing that like the Wolves have needed more from him on. And I wouldn't say they necessarily got that tonight, but they did a good job of not causing his poor offensive game to affect them writ large, where in the first two games, they absolutely, to me, were struggling on offense, in part because of Rudy, and that's obviously the classic conundrum. You can't just take him off the court because you don't defend well enough. Don't need to go through that whole song and dance like we usually do, but Rudy, phenomenal defensively, as you expect. Just looking at the plus-minuses, obviously you win by 40, whatever, like that's just how it goes, but Randle plus 38, Ant plus 36, Rudy 23, McDaniels 28, Conley 12. Just like an insane lines from everyone. Jaden McDaniels again. Defense was the story in this game. I thought, obviously, it was defense and shot making to me were the two biggest things. But it's honestly like after a win like this, like it just feels like you're just praising everything because everything went well. I thought every single player that stepped on the court tonight played well. Maybe Dante, I wouldn't say he played poorly, but it was the least factor. Only played 16 minutes. Obviously, again, part of that is he would have gotten an extra 6 if the game were close. But he hit both of his threes. Wolves hit 20 of their 40 threes. Obviously, if you'd have told us that coming into the game, you would assume a Timberwolves victory there. But finally in this series, the Wolves start to hit shots. And I think what we said coming into the game still applies, where it's not that the Wolves are just only missing wide open shots. The Thunder defense is playing a part in that. They are rushing shots. They're making shots more difficult. So it's not just looking at even the location adjusted metrics or whatever, what have you. The Wolves needed along with better shot making, needed to generate better shots. And they very clearly did that tonight. I'm very interested in looking up at once when tomorrow when the full data comes out on Synergy, what like the expected shot numbers were. But the Wolves were getting open looks, consistently getting open looks. The Thunder defense was not nearly good enough. That's one thing I'm sure that some parts of this game, I think obviously the Wolves figured stuff out and were able to do stuff that'll carry over. But that maybe accounts for the first 10 points of this win, and the next 30 were some combination of poor Thunder defense, poor Thunder offense, and outstanding shot making from the Wolves. Honestly, though, I'm sitting here, really cool scene. A lot of the Thunder fans that came out are here in the corner, and some of the players are now starting to file out for the Thunder and take pictures with the fans that have stuck around. that's pretty cool. Obviously their team got shellacked tonight. And so now I think that's Jalen Williams, the big Jalen Williams off the bench, who's there shaking hands, taking pictures. So, cool stuff. I'm sure I'm as annoyed by them on the court as possible, but that's a cool scene. That's kind of unfolding in the 126 section 126 corner of Target Center. But yeah, continuing with going down the list of players here, Jaden McDaniels, 10 points, no steals, no blocks. Wouldn't say he played bad, but the defense was obviously phenomenal on Shea. The biggest number for Jaden is always like fouls and rebounds. He had what, 5 fouls and 2 rebounds in game 2, and tonight he has 6 rebounds and 2 fouls. I mean, those are two numbers that don't always correlate with success for Jaden, but I would say a large portion of the time those are big numbers for Jaden. Mike Conley, solid game. Not much to truly break down there. 6 points, 2 of 8. And then the bench. The bench to me finally showed up in this series. The Wolves, I don't know if they need to outperform the Thunder bench, the Wolves bench does, but they certainly have to make it much closer. I mean, to be honest, if the, like, from the first 2 games, it was like, if SGA is going to outplay Ant and the Thunder bench, oh, I'm sorry, I'm dumb. It's Chet. Chet is, I mean, it's both Chet. It's both Jalen Williams and Chet, but Chet is, these are likely local Minnesotans that are sticking around, some of them. And so Chet has come out and said hello to his maybe their Minnehaha people. So good for Chet there. But yeah, from the first 2 games, it's like if Ant isn't going to be able to rise to the level of Shea and the Thunder bench is going to dominate the Wolves bench, like the Wolves just have very little shot to come back in this series. But the exact opposite happened. Ant had a better game than Shea. Ant had a better game than anyone. And the Wolves bench dominated the Thunder bench. Naz Reid, 4 of 6, 2 of 3 from 3. Let me count this up. The Wolves bench from threes was 6 of 11. No, 6 of 9. 6 of 9. Like, that's what they need. I mean, that's obviously you'd take 4 of 9, but they need their guys to hit open shots. Naz hit 2 of his 3 threes. Nikhil hit 2 of 4, and Dante hit both of his 3s. Just, I mean, it sounds so lame, but like shot making. Like, they don't need it to be this good all these games, but I mean, there's just way too many open looks that they missed. Didn't generate enough open looks as well, but yeah, I thought Naz Reid was great. 4 of 6 from the field, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Nikhil, I thought the defense on his cousin was sensational. 5 of 9, 12 points. And Dante, already kind of mentioned him, hit both of his 3s for 6 points. And last but not least, and I feel a bit dumb for not bringing this up sooner, Terrence Shannon Jr. This is the Terrence Shannon Jr. game. Obviously, they're already up 20 once he enters the game. But in the second quarter, Terrence Shannon Jr. playing his first non-garbage time minutes of these playoffs comes in, immediately sparks a run again, scores 7 points, scores 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, scores 9 points in his 4 minutes of play in the second quarter, hits a floating jump shot for an and one. That was just a crazy. I thought he had my thought process on that possession was, okay, they generated open 3, Thunder leave Shannon alone in his first possession. And instead of taking the 3, pumps, drives, draws a foul, and hits a bit of a circus shot for the and one. Next possession down, gets the ball. It's kind of same sort of action. Dribbles up into an open mid-range shot and knocks it down. And then what Terrence has done all season for the Wolves, and I'm excited to go back and listen to, I would assume he does some sort of media tonight. Pushing the ball in transition. The Wolves have been very poor in transition the entire season. They have not done well enough. They haven't done it enough pushing the ball, and they haven't done it efficiently enough. And against a set defense in the Thunder that's been outstanding the entire year, a generational Thunder defense. Like, that just is so obvious to me as a place that you can generate easier offense. And the Terrence did it tonight, pushing the ball, gets a layup. Caruso is kind of down there, and he just makes an easy transition layup, as players do when they have a bunch of momentum and a defender's trying to backpedal. Draws another foul for 9 points, and then has scored 6 points in the fourth quarter, kind of took garbage time minutes to get 15 points. Outstanding game from Shannon. Got to wonder if they go back to him a little bit more as Johnny Krasinski enters the court without no suit jacket for John. If you see it, he had a beautiful blue suit on, but the suit jacket has eluded him here as he crosses midcourt. But yeah, just an outstanding game for the Timberwolves. Going to kind of stall here to see if Andrew Carlson is able to join or if we're going to wrap up here. Yeah, Timberwolves 143, Thunder 101. Yeah, I know, and this is a good example of why I kind of refrained from doing any big picture thoughts after game two, because I just thought that there was a slim one, but still a path for the Wolves to win this series. And obviously that has opened up a little bit more here. Like I said, game four just seems unbelievably pivotal. Goes to my theory that the even numbered games, at least if you set game seven aside as its own thing, the even numbered games are the bigger ones. Cause like, game one, you always have a chance to respond to the odd numbered games, but like if the Wolves lose game four, they're in the series, is close to over. And if they win game four, they're right back in it 2-2 if the Wolves win game four and they're 2-2, I think everyone would have taken that before the series started. Certainly, if you told people they're 2-2 in the Western Conference Finals, everyone would have jumped at that at multiple points in the season. But it's an example of why I thought the discourse, they are lowering the entire scoreboard. The big Jumbotron is like 10 feet off the ground right now. Wow, that's kind of insane. As long as we're waiting for, that's kind of cool. But yeah, it's why you don't overreact to any single game or even in any pair of games, because stuff like this can happen. And to the same point, like you don't want to overreact to this game tonight as well, but the Wolves have a chance. It looks like the Pacers are in the spot to make the NBA Finals. That's a team that obviously gave the Wolves a bunch of trouble in the regular season. Obi Toppin, the God, would be, but obviously we're not looking at that right now. The Wolves are still trying to climb out of an 0-2 hole. They're halfway there. Game four is going to be nuts here at Target Center. Yeah, I just think going in on Shannon a little bit more. The assumption I think will be that not all eight of the Wolves' main eight rotation are going to be back next year. I think it's fair to assume that someone will not be back, and obviously it's not like they're just going to re-sign two of those guys and call it quits. Kevin Durant is the obvious move that they'll try to make if it makes sense for the roster. But I think a game like tonight just shows like they have something in Terrence Shannon Jr. I think they've known that most of the year at this point. And then obviously you have Jalen Clark and two guys that I just think you have to have confidence in can step into whatever role you need them to next year. And then obviously Rob Dillingham, you spent a good amount of draft capital on him. I don't think it's fair to judge him positively or negatively based on what's happened this season, but it's another guy that you'd think can step into a role. I just think, thinking back to the Cat trade as he misses the game-sealing free throw in game one, he had an outstanding game that game. But regardless of what happens here, I do think the Wolves are very, very set up, as well as any team in this second apron era can be set up. Obviously, the other team that is just as well set up is this, the roster on the other side of the court here, and all their litany of draft picks. If you guys want to see McMahon and someone else on ESPN, if you find that shot, they got the scoreboard in their background. If you're checking out this low scoreboard, I've never seen it's going back up. Funny stuff. I think the Wolves are just incredibly set up for success. Obviously, you got Ant and Jaden locked down for a long time. You have Dante on a nice contract. Obviously, this offseason, we will see what Nas, Julius, and Nikhil, what happens with them, and Mike and Rudy are two of the wild cards. I'm not sure how much you'll be able to expect Mike another year older. And then Rudy, we've seen the positive. We don't need to relitigate the Rudy of it all. I just think they're really set up, assuming that ownership is still willing to pay some sort of luxury tax. Obviously, like, there's a financial realities to it, and there's gonna be a lot of changes business wise. There's gonna be a lot of changes business wise with this organization as we wait for about 5 minutes for Andrew Carlson to join the live stream here. There's gonna be a lot of changes probably business wise with this organization in the next offseason. So we'll see what appetite they have for the second apron or for the luxury tax. But you have to imagine A-Rod and Lori have every intention of spending the requisite amount to keep this team successful after two trips to the Western Conference Finals. I guess one note, the Wolves have never been swept in their franchise history. That continues through this playoff series. They get the win. They get the win to avoid the sweep, at least. Obviously, we're waiting on, or we'll see how the rest of the series goes. Yeah, for now, I'm going to take a few minute break here. If you want to stick with us for this break, Andrew Carlson will come up after a quick break. Otherwise, you can check out the rest of the pod tomorrow morning in your podcast feed. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in a few minutes. All right, welcome back to Two Words Wolves Pod. We will see if the podcasting platform lets me shut off a live stream and go back live. Otherwise, this will be a podcast only experience. We're experimenting. We're figuring it out. Andrew Carlson, how you doing?
Name of the game, right? Good. I'm doing well. Joining you from a different area of the arena. I see you all the way up there at 116. I'm down here at the corner of the court. It's what we call efficiency, right? Get stuck a little bit in podium session, goes a little bit longer than you expect. Here we are. We still made it, right? It's a good night for the Wolves. I wasn't in the podium. I had to grab my stuff from the podium session. I wasn't actually at the podium sessions. I went to the locker room. They had Ant and Mike talk in the locker room. And then obviously we had Finch at the podium. So good stuff. Good stuff from them. I think Ant was essentially, he kept his tone of business as usual, and I think that's kind of where I'm at too. It's business as usual, man. We're back on another stream after game three. Let's roll.
Awesome. So were you there for TJ's podium session?
I was not. TJ and I think who joined him at the podium? It was him and Nas. They did the podium for the first session, and then Julius at the podium for the second. Figured I wanted to stay and get Ant just because I didn't know that might be posted a little bit later. And also, too, I just kind of wanted to see what he said because he came out really, really convincing in the first quarter. I mean, that was probably I would say this is one of his better playoff games, I would say, just by setting the tone, setting the energy for the rest of the team. I know he's had a couple 36-point game. He had a couple near triple doubles.
But I said the best game of his career.
In the playoffs?
I just think of his career.
Wow. That's pretty bold. There's a lot of good ones.
What's the alternative? Like,
I mean, he had that 36-point game in Golden State just a week ago when they was it game 3 was probably the best one,
yeah,
the closest one that Golden State
had
won.
Anyone. I'm
yeah, but that was the one
adding...
that Golden State would have won. Like, if they would have taken one and kind of maybe tried to flip the series a little bit, that was going to be the one that they take in the Bay, and Ant had 36.
I just think, given the opposing defense, given the stakes of the game, it's not an elimination game, but it is. Okay. Yeah, I'd have to really like dig into it, but I mean, it's certainly one of. And if there is another game that's better, I would at least argue that like we're picking hairs, right? Picking nits.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I also think too. I mean, I'll give that to you because I think, again, like you said, given the stakes of how much they needed this game and really how good the opponent was and really how much momentum the opponent had, like, yeah, I can hear your argument for that. I mean, I disagree. I'm sure there's other Ant games that I would say are better, but it is certainly up there. I would not dispute that whatsoever. I mean, he was dominant, man. Like, you could make an argument, like, second half when things really started to pull away, like, he also kind of phased out a little bit, but I would make the argument
that was... I mean, it didn't matter, but, like, the turnover he had to Rudy right at the beginning of the second quarter I thought was, like, asinine as, like, a single play. And obviously it doesn't matter, but
that's, like, vintage Ant, though, dude. Like, you know,
like,
that's just,
like... that. When do you... Ant, Rudy is sprinting up to set a screen for you. Why are you passing him the ball? It was just...
Yeah.
I get, like... I'm sure it was supposed to be a dribble handoff in his head, but like, I don't know. It was bad, but it doesn't matter. Like, they were able to, I mean, they take the big 30-point lead. I think everyone was kind of feeling like there's no lead big enough. Right. Especially after the Thunder cut the lead to 22. But I do think it's important that the Wolves like immediately snuffed that out, went on a huge run and the game was over, before the Thunder could really get any traction again.
And I asked that to Chris Finch about the timeout that he took in that third quarter when the Thunder came out on that 10-2 run. It was actually pretty funny because right after I asked it, the TV came on at full volume and there was nothing really anybody could do about it. And so in the spirit of asking a question of refocusing after halftime, Finch forgot the question and we had to refocus after the TV started blaring in the podium room. It's pretty funny. Finch didn't necessarily talk as much about like what he said, but he just emphasized that he saw themes of previous games of like losing focus when you're up 30 points. And that he's like, he pointed out the games against Memphis where Oklahoma City like kind of vaporized some of the leads that were had against them. And he's like, this is a team that can do that. Like, we can't, like, this is a team that if you play with your food, like, you're going to get come back on, you're going to lose, or you're going to make a game much more entertaining than it should be. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's essentially what he said. Just emphasizing the importance of against a team like this, you can't mess around. And he saw a little bit of that coming out of halftime, but obviously like we talked about it when we were up there. It's like you let up a 10-2 run, things don't look great, but then they come right back with 20-4 and essentially put the game away.
Yeah. The game it reminded me of was game 6 against Denver, where Denver wins 3 straight in that series, including 2 at Target Center. It feels, and then Jokic has like a generational game 5, like just as good of a single game as anyone's ever played, maybe. And it just kind of felt over. And I've been talking about like, we don't know how much tonight will carry over the rest of the series or game 4, maybe. For all we know, the game 4 will look like the first 2 did, and we'll kind of be right back where we were before the game started. But I do think that, I mean, they're back in the series. They really are.
Yep. And this is a game where it's going to be talked about for every single storyline that's put out, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, is you took the momentum back. You took a series where they had their foot on your throat. And you took it, and it was the call. Someone called the police, but not for me. game, and I think that Monday is going to be a dogfight, man. I mean, this is a wake up call for Oklahoma City too, for a team that was that's up 2-1 now. I mean, they got their ass kicked tonight, And if this isn't a wake up call, I don't know what is. And I would expect Monday to be an absolute slobber knocker.
Yeah, Dagnall said before the game, like, we know we're going to get the Wolves' best shot tonight. And they very clearly did. And I think that the Wolves are going to similarly get certainly a much better shot. I said, like, I think game four will be close. I'd be surprised if either team pulls away. And I think there's a good chance that, like, whoever wins game four is going to win this series. Obviously, maybe for the Wolves, that's less so true. If they win game four, they still got to go to OKC and win at least one game in the series. But, it's hard to imagine the Wolves losing on Monday and winning the series. And it's hard to imagine that we're not heading to at least a game seven if the Wolves do win on Monday. Going to be a fun Memorial Day game. The crowd's going to be hyped up. It's not a weekend, but it's not a weekday either. I'm excited. I think it's I said what I've said kind of this whole playoff run. It's like, enjoy the moments while they happen. If the Wolves lose, we can get frustrated about that specific game or that specific series. But while the Wolves are still playing basketball, enjoy what they have. And at the very least, you got to enjoy tonight, and it provides another fun atmosphere. Because obviously, they lose tonight, Monday would just be a funeral. I mean, they won game four last year after going down 3-0. But
it's not a matter. It'd be a matter of not if, but when. If yeah, it was, I mean, Sunday, if it was Monday.
What are the examples of, like, baseball, basketball, hockey of coming down 3-0 in a playoff series? It's like the Red Sox, the Kings. I think maybe there's a couple hockey examples, but, like,
wouldn't happen in the series.
It has not happened in NBA play. The closest one was a couple of years ago, Boston. Came back from down 3-0 just to lose game seven after Tatum rolled his ankle in the game seven game. But
here's what I'd say going into Monday. I think there's a clear storyline, and it's Terrence Shannon Jr. And while I wasn't at his podium session, I did ask both Ant and Mike, you know, in a series that Oklahoma City is clearly trying to take the paint away, loading up the paint with three or four guys, what does that give you? Like, what does Terrence, like, I'm going to say this. Terrence Shannon Jr. puts a level of pressure on the rim that only Anthony Edwards can on this team. And frankly, I would even surmise that while Ant's more powerful, like, Terrence kind of attacks it faster on a lot of occasions, just because he's able to play in bursts. I mean, he plays 10, 12 minutes a game. So he's just giving everything he has every time he goes to the rim. But what does that do for you? And both of them said it's enormous. And Ant was very quick to say, like, it doesn't take any responsibility off my plate, but it certainly is really nice when he comes in. And he's a mature basketball player. And pointed out his age, that he's 24, 25. It's literally what he said. He didn't even know how old he was.
Shannon's older than Ant, right?
Yeah, he's older than Ant. I think he's 24. But Ant didn't know. Ant just knew he was older. But Ant said it was helpful. I mean, and Mike said that too. Like, and Mike was also quick to point out that Terrence and Ant play one-on-one together a lot. They're very similar players in how they play offense. Like, they just love to go to the rim and they like to get physical. And so, like, a lot's expected of Ant. And Mike talks about this a lot. Like, this isn't the first night that Mike's talked about it. Like, Mike talks about it all season, that a lot is expected of Anthony Edwards. Like, that's just the nature of this team. And so when you have guys that can come in and just take pieces away from what he is expected to do all the time over the course of 38 minutes in a game, granted, tonight he played 29, but typically he plays about 35 minutes. Like, that's huge, man. And especially in a game especially in a series where the other team is trying to take the paint away and they are making it difficult for guys who can attack the rim, having another guy with fresh legs that comes in and is able to get to the rim the way Terrence Shannon Jr. is, it's a game changer for this team. And that's what I would look at going into Monday. Just how many minutes is he going to get? And does he have the impact that he had tonight? Because I'd make if this series goes to six or seven games or seven games, and it, God forbid, if maybe even the Wolves pull it out, this is the player that we're going to look at and say, this is what changed the series.
Yeah, and for a team that hasn't gotten out in transition enough or well enough, Shannon's been fantastic about that all year. We should start to wrap up here. I know your laptop is gonna die here at truly at any moment. But
I'm at 5%, so we're running on E. Actually, but this is a 2015 laptop, Ryan. Like, a 5% for this is like a 2%. In real laptop years. It's like dog years.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can wrap it up there. Andrew and I will be back after game four, hoping the Wolves tie it up at 2-2. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Go Wolves.
Ayoo!